Hey everyone, and welcome back to your daily Linux and open source news podcast. Today we'll start by talking about Fedora, because it is confirmed that Fedora will indeed get some telemetry. Now, as planned, it will be opt-in telemetry. So you will have to voluntarily enable it, which instantly makes it okay in my book. The Fedora Steering Committee approved that change, and it's for Fedora 42, not 41, so it's not coming this year, it's coming in April 2025 for Fedora 42. No council member voted against that proposal, and all the details are of course available to see what will be collected if you ever decided to enable this in April next year. The end goal is to have more data on how Fedora users actually use their system, on the applications they launch, on the hardware that they run Fedora on, the language they use, the input methods, the accessibility features that they use, and the various crashes and problems they might encounter. They're apparently using something that is private to report all of this data to the Fedora project without any IP address or personal data being linked to any of this. They're also taking steps to make fingerprinting harder. Apparently, they are sending all of this anonymized data in small chunks instead of sending one big data dump, so it's harder to rejig the pieces and make sure that it's one profile. In the end, it looks innocuous as far as telemetry goes. You decide if you want to contribute that data or not. The default state is no, you don't send anything, nothing is forced upon you, and it seems to be very private in its design. So I don't have an issue with it, just like what KDE does with telemetry, in my opinion. If it's all opt-in, then it's solid enough. Now, the first beta for the new NVIDIA drivers is out, this version being the one that moves to the open source kernel modules by default, at least if your GPU is recent enough, so basically if you have an RTX card of any type. The installer for these new drivers will automatically pick between the proprietary module or the open source ones, so you won't have to worry about it. You'll use what works for your GPU. But it also comes with other changes, including support for variable refresh rate for pre-Volta NVIDIA GPUs, meaning, for example, GeForce Series 10 and older. So if you have a GTX 1050 or 1080 even, chances are you will be able to make variable refresh rate work with these cards, which is kind of cool, because I don't think they supported it previously. They also added a Pipewire backend to let Wayland compositors use NVFBC with the desktop portals, which seems like gibberish. What it means is that you'll be able to share your screen or record your screen under Wayland using hardware acceleration from your NVIDIA GPU, which is also pretty cool. They also enabled variable refresh rate for laptops that will use the open kernel module, so laptops with RTX cards, and they fixed and improved a few things, including reducing stutters under KDE. I am personally very excited to try these out, just to see how the open source modules that I will be able to use, because I do have an RTX card on my laptop, I want to compare that to the current proprietary drivers, see if I notice any improvements or any issues or anything related to that. Unfortunately, these open source modules only support GPUs that were already well supported by the proprietary drivers. Most of the issues people seem to encounter are either on very early RTX cards like the 20 series. I can't say I noticed these issues, but some people are reporting them. But it's mostly for older cards that have been all but abandoned by NVIDIA. So seeing them bringing new features through the proprietary drivers for these old cards is nice. And maybe for RTX 20 series, maybe the open source modules will be better than the proprietary ones. But it's going to be interesting to see how it fixes problems, if it fixes any of them. And finally for today, Linux Mint 22 is out. I will have a dedicated video tomorrow on the channel. Of course, it's already written and recorded. All I have to do is edit it. I won't be able to do it today, but it will be tomorrow. So in the meantime, you can already download the ISO from Mint 22. They will very likely not offer the in-place upgrade for a few days or a few weeks. They usually delay it a bit. They just want to see if there's something horribly broken and not have to deal with their current installed base, like basically throwing flipping tables and throwing tantrums because their favorite system is broken. Now, the main changes in Mint 22 is first the move to Cinnamon 6.2, which, apart from letting you reorder the context menu in the file manager, isn't a big change. You also get a downgrade to a lot of applications to their older GTK3 versions. They cannot theme the GTK4 and LibertVita versions that are in Ubuntu 24.04's repos, so they downgraded a lot of these utilities to their GTK3 versions. They will very likely fork these applications in the future to have their own set of apps. They also disabled unverified flatpaks from FlatHub, meaning you will not see them by default in the software manager. You can re-enable that yourself in the settings, but these unverified apps will not have ratings or user reviews, so you will not know if they're actually good packages or not, which I think is a mistake. I would much rather have had them just letting people install unverified apps, but throw a warning every time you want to install them. As it stands, I'm 99% sure that what will happen is people will take a trip to the settings, re-enable unverified flatpaks, and keep installing them. Except now they cannot see if there's any warning about them because they don't have the ratings and they don't have the user reviews. What would probably have been better is if Mint just threw a warning screen every time you install an unverified flatpak. It is annoying, or just display a big fat banner next to the install button or on top of the page like, this app is unverified, do check the user reviews and the things to see if you really want to install it. I think that would have been a better solution because you would be reminded every time that this is unverified. As it stands now, people will just disable that setting, see all unverified apps and keep installing them, and they will forget that this was ever an issue. Mint 22 also gives you a replacement for HexChat, which was the IRC client that they used for a lot of their user support. They're not just replacing the IRC client, they're replacing the IRC protocol. They're moving to Matrix instead, and they're shipping basically a wrapper that bundles the Element client as a web app. It's not Electron, but it's still a web app, because apparently all the GTK clients were GTK4 and LibertVita, and so they couldn't theme them and they didn't want to ship them. And of course, finally, Mint is based now on Ubuntu 24.04 LTS, so you're getting newer versions of everything in the repos, you're getting a newer kernel, better performance thanks to the newer kernel, and newer drivers as well. In my testing, I really liked this version. The downgrade of the various utilities isn't really felt. They haven't really gained many features since they were GTK3, so honestly, not a big deal. The flatpak thing is, in my opinion, not the right decision, but it's also not a critical mistake that ruins the distro or anything. The only worry I have about Mint, and I'll talk about it at length in the video, is that maybe they're taking on too much. The desktop environment is something that is tricky to maintain already. It's a lot of stuff. They also have to remove everything they don't like from the Ubuntu base. They maintain their own versions now of about 10 GTK3 applications. They maintain their Mate and XFCE spins. They maintain their Debian-based spin instead of the Ubuntu-based one. They have dev packages to replace Ubuntu snaps. They have their own collection of X apps. It feels like a lot to handle for one team that historically hasn't really been super fast-paced already. I hope they succeed. I hope they get volunteers and new Mint members to work on this. I like having this other way to approach the Linux desktop, which is basically saying we're making apps for Linux, not apps for GNOME or for KDE, so we want to make sure that any desktop can integrate them and they'll look good. I like the approach. I think it's a good one. I think we need it on top of the already existing approaches of KDE and GNOME. So I really do hope they succeed. But of course, if you want more details about all of this and my opinions on the Mint workload, you'll have to wait for the video tomorrow. Anyway, this will conclude today's episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. As always, thank you all for supporting what I do. And I guess you will hear me in the next one tomorrow. Bye!